All right. Hi, welcome back to the Cake Podcast.
Welcome back.
It's been so freaking long.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Sorry we made you all wait so long.
We're back. We're back.
Yes, we're back. We're
I'm excited.
Back.
We missed you guys.
We totally
it's not like we
you.
Didn't. I think every day we thought about getting the ball rolling again. So we're back.
Not every single day, but like pretty often. We were like, man, we need to get it back. We were supposed to come back a while ago, but you know, just life has been happening. So I hope that this break wasn't too long, and I hope that you all are ready to get back rolling with us. But let's get to it. I'm your host, Denisha. Also go by Viva Monet.
I'm Vari, aka just Vari.
And yeah,
this is the cake podcast.
Sweet Tea can't be with us right now just because she has a lot going on. So I'm sure she'll come back eventually, but right now, I don't know if I should be saying this, but she's taking a little break. So it's just going to be me and Vari banging it out for now. And we hope that you all are excited as we are to be back.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back. I felt like these weekly conversations helped me. They were quite therapeutic. You know? I think so. Look, you know how I get when I don't want to talk about anything. You know,
for
I get
real,
my
though.
Shell. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to anybody. But, you know, when I have this task of doing the podcast, obviously, I can't just sit here and not say anything. So it helps me talk my problems out, get some frustrations out. And that can be very therapeutic.
True. I will say I was very surprised at how you opened up more stuff, because I didn't expect you to talk as much. But you do be talking, okay? But yeah, so how's life been for Vari since what was the last time we dropped? What, back in like freaking May?
Ooh,
I don't even remember. This is horrible.
No,
Let's see.
I can't even think that far back. I could talk about what's going on right now.
Well, how's Vari right now? How's Vari today? What's been going on?
Oh, so okay. I had two interviews today.
For real?
Yes. And you know, okay, Denisha, okay, I know you know I told you. You know, I'm a habitual liar. So, you know, I told you I got the job at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had the interview. I could have swore I would have gotten a job because, I mean, like, it's not that hard. So I go in there. This interview was going great. And then she was like, what are your plans with Buffalo Wild Wings? And I was like, this is a part-time thing.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I love my job. I love what I do now. But, you know, on the side, I just wanted to, you know, bring in a couple extra dollars, you know. And I gave her three full days of open availability, you know. So I don't understand why that couldn't work with her. She wanted me to have open availability. And she was, like, thinking I was going to have a whole thought out plan that I was going to start at the bottom and grow with Buffalo Wild Wings and eventually be the manager there. Like, girl, no, it's not a full-time position. This is not something I want to do for the rest of my life. And I don't even like the smell in this place.
I don't even
I didn't get the job. And you know Screw you, Annie. I'm going to take all this talent elsewhere. Your loss.
As you should. I'm trying not to, like, do anything that doesn't align with, like, my goals and my purpose anymore. Unless I just, like, absolutely have to. Because, like, it's a complete waste of time. Like, you spend all this time doing things that have nothing to do with what you want to do. But then you could be spending that same energy into, like, your passions. And it'll be so much more worth it. And it'll pay off in the end way more than some other job that you freaking hate or are not meant to be at.
That's true. I think there's a difference between working somewhere that you're not meant to be at and then working for something just to bring in extra revenue. Obviously, I know that I'm not supposed to work at Buffalo Wild Wings because, as you know, I don't do peasant jobs. No offense to the workers out there working at Buffalo Wild Wings or any food restaurant, because you do what you have to do what you need to do, you know? But at the same time, you are better than them. And they know it, and jobs like that are there to,
that,
like,
is true.
You know, belittle you. You're so much more than that. I've known I was much more than that, but, you know, I thought I would give them the benefit of the doubt. But you guys proved me right.
It's funny because when I was in school and I worked at Dillard's and I was selling shoes and I quit, Carrie, she was like, "Oh, you'll be back." Or she was like, "Screw you." I was like, "You sure I'm not? Excuse my language, but no, I'm not. I'm not coming back here. Forget you." But I heard she got fired, remember? Okay, but anyway, that's not the point of this conversation. So with me, and wait, did you, are you finished talking about your update?
I mean, not exactly.
Okay, well, come on. Tell me.
You're the one who was talking.
Go ahead.
So, second interview. This is where I'm kind of like confused. Oh. Actually, mm-hmm. This was my second interview. The first interview I had, which was, this is the third interview, and I'm interviewing for a higher position. I'd be the manager of the store. And that's awesome, I guess. However, I'm moving to a totally different store. I love the store that I work for currently. I like what I do at this store, and I like the open end of all the possibilities that I could do within the company. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, I would like a more complex role in the store, feeling like I have some type of matter or importance. Although I do, mm-hmm. because I have a lot of clients, and that's great. But I'd be moving to a different store. I'd be moving to a smaller store.
Mm-hmm. And I thought you were going to be working at that one at first, but go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And
wait. Wait, is it the same one that you were interviewing all that, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like she was going to put you at a whole different store too.
No.
Okay, go ahead. My bad.
So, I'm kind of in this, like, I would like this role. I would love this role. However, I don't want to leave my company that I work for. Mm-hmm. And there's something that I would, eventually, I would like to move to a different store within this company. But for right now, I'm just kind of confused. Not really confused, but I'm just kind of unsure of the decision to make. Right now, obviously, I'd be getting a little bit more money, and I'd get the experience. However, once I got the experience from this store, I would definitely take that experience back to the company that I already work for. I don't really see anything long term with this company, but I do see the benefit of it helping me right now. Mm-hmm. I think that I will get the job. Obviously, this is my third interview for it.
Yeah, after the third interview, actually after the second one, my thing is like, what are we still doing this for? Give me the job.
But also, and then if I do get the job, I don't want to turn it down, because I'm like, obviously they see something in me that they want me at the store. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's like, I feel like it's limiting what I do. Like, what I do at my store now, I personal shop, I have clients, I make these promises to all my customers or my clients that, you know, down the line, I will, you know, keep them in the loop about certain things. And if I leave, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to my clients. They're going to be looking for me. You know, they come in and they look for me. And I feel
why don't you go to your upper ups at your current, go ahead, you know, I'm going to finish.
I already know what you're going to say. And uh-huh. I already have gotten that same thing that I should just go to my manager that I already mm-hmm. work for and tell them that another store is looking to hire me and they're offering me this X, Y, and Z, but I really want to stay here, you know.
And?
Ask them either what I should do or, you know, if there's any benefit of me staying here in hopes of getting what I want out of this company. What do you, you know, tell me now. Right. I'm going to do that, you know, and if not, then I will pack my bags and go. Obviously, mm-hmm. I think I'm a good asset to the company. I do my job well. I'm very nonchalant about it, but we'll see how they go. So that
mm-hmm.
that's what's been going on today. That's just today.
I can't talk about the last two months. The past couple weeks too, though. So or last week. That's been like the last week or so too.
Yeah, because the first interview was last week.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been going on with you? You sound like you are eager.
Eager? I feel like I'm pretty chill right now. No. Tons. Too much to even, I don't even know where to start, honestly. So since, I don't even know where to start. for starters, I guess I'll say that I've decided to fully pursue my business 110%. Viva Monet Beauty. Go find me at vivamonetbeauty.com. That's V-I-V-A-M-O. Let me stop. But
go ahead. Represent your brand.
I actually am. So Viva Monet, V-I-V-A-M-O-N-E-T beauty.com. You can also find me on Facebook, on IG. Please check me out. It's all natural skincare, all handmade products. They're all fun, organic, and yeah, check me out. But yeah, I decided to just fully pursue my passion, my dream. I'm just tired of living my life and not giving my business my all and working for these companies who don't give a shit about you, I feel like. And, you know, you're using your talents and your passions there, but you could be using it for your own shit, your own stuff. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I've been, like, continuously on my, like, spiritual journey and, like, praying and just trying to make sure that my life is aligned and everything. I'm currently single still. I am not dating right now. I'm currently not dating anyone, and I'm not dating anyone on purpose right now, though, because I feel like I really just need to get my business, my full. Because I feel like once I'm, like, in love and all that stuff, like, I start to be a little bit too consumed in love, and that can be a distraction for, like, my business.
Yes.
And, yeah, like, right now, I don't need that. Yeah, right. I mean, I can have fun and everything, but, like, I don't need 100% right. commitment right now to anything right. but my business, so, and myself. So, that's kind of where, that's in a nutshell, that's where I'm at right now, and I'm feeling cool about it. A lot of transitions going on right now, and I'm just kind of, like, taking it and rolling along with it and just trying to stay on top of everything. Yeah, that's pretty much everything in a nutshell. That was, like, short and sweet. That's it. My mom's
I think it's really good that you're pursuing your business. This is something you've been wanting to do for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it could be a little scary at first, because it's like you're kind of winging all of this all at once, and you don't know how to properly step these things out. But I think that's important, because people before you who've had to do this, they don't know the proper steps to get where they need to go.
Yeah.
And this teaches you so much. This teaches you responsibility. This teaches you how to handle money. This teaches you how to prioritize.
For sure.
This teaches you so much that you wouldn't have had the chance to learn had you been still taking baby steps. And not to say you shouldn't take baby steps. You should. But
yeah, it's definitely all like
babying steps. Yourself and not pushing yourself.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I was pushed into, like, a new realm of uncomfortability, which is fine. Like, it's rewarding.
Appreciate it.
And I appreciate it. And it's been, at first it was frightening, but trusting, you know, my higher power, God, and myself, you know, having faith in everything, that everything is going to be worked out for my good, has been everything right now. And, yeah, like, I'm feeling good. Like, I'm feeling cool. I'm feeling content. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling like I'm not settling. You know, I'm feeling like I'm just going for it. And I'm taking steps towards those things. Because, like, ever since I can remember, when I was a child, like, I always said I wanted to be, I didn't use the word entrepreneur, but I always said that I wanted to have businesses and things like that. So getting my footwork in now and starting on that fully now is, like, I don't know, it makes me feel like, wow, like, some things just don't change from, you know, sometimes people don't know what they want to do when they're younger. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted that to look like, but I knew I wanted a business. So, you know, starting on that now is just, like, I don't know, it makes me feel fulfilled and feel good so far. And I know that I'm just getting started and have so much more to accomplish, have so, like, such a long way to go, but I'm learning so much, and it's crazy, like, just about, like, everything. So yeah, I got my permit yesterday, so I'm gonna start doing some things, and yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
And how much did it cost for you to get your permit?
Well, so the permit, actually, I thought that it was going to cost money, but it actually doesn't. You just have to. So my permit, for those who are listening, is actually for being able to sell in public places. So like if I go to farmers markets, when I go to farmers markets, I have to have a permit on there.
And just you already I'm allowed have to your LLC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had that, like, since, what, last year?
And then how much did it cost to get that going?
That was, like, I think it was, like, it was over $100 for it. I believe it was, like, $118 or something like that. I really can't remember. I have to go look it up. But still, like, you know, that investment, those little investments for yourself, like, they go a long way. And you don't have to have an LLC necessarily to start a business, you know, just start somewhere, because there's plenty of other things that you're going to need and that you might not be able to afford off the bat, but taking those steps toward, you know, making things happen today, like it's going to pay off. You're going to thank yourself for it later, because you always think you have to have everything figured out right now, and that's just not the reality of it. You know, things take time. You have to start somewhere. You know, the first person who decided to freaking make a cup, they didn't know exactly how that it was going to turn into that $1 billion business that, you know, now their freaking whole family is set for. You know, things take time and it takes trial and error. So I just want to encourage, if anyone is out there and there's something that they want to start on, or a business, a dream, just whatever, like, get started on it. Start somewhere. Research. Read. Just start. That's all I have to say about that. But
I did want to go back to, you know, you saying that when you were a kid, saying that you wanted to have all these different businesses. Mm-hmm. You can't have all these businesses giving all your time to these companies.
Wait, what do you mean?
And that's my point for Buffalo Wild.
Wait, can you say that again?
I'm saying, why would I want to have an open availability for Buffalo Wild Wings when I can have open availability to do what I need to do outside of work?
Factual.
No, I don't have open availability for you and all the people who eat at your corporation.
True.
Like, I feel like businesses like that do that, so you can't have any time for yourself. Screw you.
Well, and it's not even about that part. It's actually about them. They want you to do the work for them. They want to keep making their pockets bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
and bigger.
It's about them. It's about them.
Right. Like, and so, and
even
the thing
if
is,
I had dreams outside of this job, I can't even pursue them because you're paying me and you're making me feel crippled, like I can't step out of this and make a way without you. Exactly. Yeah, screw you.
Exactly. And that's
Buffalo
the whole
Wild Wings. I only have 2 days to give your sorry ass.
Wow,
it's not like they're actually gonna, like, you know, it's not like they're actually gonna hear me. But
and I think not, the Buffalo Wild Wings of the story is actually any company, because it's not just the Buffalo Wild Wings, it's yeah, the whatever. But I mean, everyone has their own passion. Some people want to be lawyers, doctors, you know, some people want to just whatever that you want to do. Just if you want to do it, go after it relentlessly, no matter what it is, because everyone's path is different. And we said this before, but whatever you choose, whatever path you choose, just live your truth and do that without guilt, without.
Yes. If your dream is to work for Buffalo Wild Wings,
do that. If your dream is to be a stripper, do that. Like, sorry. Whatever you choose, do it 110%. Put your all into it. Give your best.
Hey,
no matter what.
I'm going to bring this back to the stripper thing.
Okay.
I don't think people don't want to be strippers.
You
don't
never
choose.
Know.
Look. You don't choose to be a stripper. You become a stripper because you do what you have to do to survive, to do what you need to do to take care of your family, and you're not scared of hustling and to make this money by any means necessary. Now, these women
that
in the strip
true.
Club do not want to be strippers.
Some
I have never
might.
Met a stripper you... who want to be a stripper, because there's slow days like a Tuesday or a freaking Monday when people ain't in the strip club and nobody's spending any money. And if they are in a strip club, they not spending no money. Like, people who go to strip clubs on Mondays are not throwing a lot of money. I promise
you. What
they
there for?
They just there for the vision, for the view, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, nah, bam. I'd be
exactly.
like, you gotta go.
You know, there's I mean,
I'm not giving you no lap dance.
Any day like that, like, they're chasing the money, you know, chase your money by any means necessary. But people who are in those type of positions, strippers, they don't want to be strippers.
I'm sure. But I mean, but I'm sure there's also a bigger goal. Just like people, I mean, working for another company, they're doing it so they can get somewhere else, maybe. Exactly. Or some people are just doing it because it works for them. I mean, some people, I'm not going to sit up here and say, I'm sure there is some people that actually want to be a stripper.
I disagree. If you want to be a stripper, send us a letter.
Send us an email. Let us know about
why
that,
you want to be a stripper. And we're not judging you.
I'm totally not. Hey, I say get it.
I'm just saying, people, that's
live it.
You, that's hustling. Like, you hustle. Like,
that's like people who sell.
Being a stripper is hard.
Okay.
Hard. Like, you got to have the physique. You got to have you got to have the strength. You got to have the body figure for it. Like, you gotta have all this, and you have to have the mental capacity
for
to do this around whack ass crazy niggas all the time. Like, nobody wants to deal with that shit. Like, that would annoy the fuck out of me. That's why I can't do it.
So I don't think I'm equipped for it personally,
right? So people who do it have to be very strong minded about what they're doing, and I mean, I don't think that if they had a different life, they wouldn't want to do that, but they do because they need to.
No, for sure. But what about people who, some people like,
I mean, there are people who like to dance.
Yeah, there are people, even some people who hustle in the streets. I'm sure that some people actually do like that lifestyle. I know people who love that lifestyle and they don't want anything else but that lifestyle. So I'm not saying that everyone who strips wants to strip, but I'm pretty sure that some people enjoy it. I mean, it's not unheard of, I don't think. But I mean, I'm sure they also do have like other goals that they want to achieve, but I'm not going to say they don't like what they do. Cause I feel like if you absolutely, absolutely don't like it, you would do it for a little bit and then find another outlet.
I'm going to tell you, Cash Doll was a stripper for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
She stripped for 1 year. She did that to hustle, to make some money, and she got out of it easily.
Is her butt like, that's not her real
That's
butt?
Not the point.
I'm just asking a question.
I don't know if that's her real butt or not. Cash Doll, that's my girl.
I like Cash Doll.
Cash Doll.
Hello.
My point to say was Cash Doll didn't want to be a stripper. She did what she had to do to get where she had to go. And now she is known across many states, and she is doing her thing. And she broke out of the contract that she was in where she couldn't produce any money. And now she's back. Cash Doll is back. You know, make sure you go download the new album she just put out, Ready Set. That's not an album. It's a song. Download the song.
I need to actually listen to her music. But yeah.
Anyways.
So a lot has been going on in these past few weeks, like good, bad, and the absolute ugly. I actually want to take a minute to bring light and awareness to the mass shootings that have happened in the past couple of weeks. The two that I know for sure, there was like three of them, but
I do want to say that was a terrible segue.
That was a terrible segue, but I kind of want to get it out the way because we can't ignore it. You know, one of them happened in our home city.
Right.
One in El Paso, one in Dayton, Ohio, which is our hometown, mass shootings. It was the 250th in our hometown. I want to give a moment of silence to those people that lost their lives in that time. And at this time, too, I just want to, like, you know, give my condolences, my prayers, my love out to those families. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose someone into mass shooting. Those things are unpredictable. You know, you can't just predict when someone is just losing their shit and they want to go out and decide they want to shoot someone. And it makes you fear your life, your family's lives, because you just never know. You know, you could literally be out. You can be in a church. You can be out at a movie. You can literally be anywhere, and someone can decide that they want to do some crazy stuff like this, and now your life is on the line. And I don't know. It's very, very frightening. What do you think about these things, Bri?
So I'm currently babysitting. I'm sorry. Off topic. I'm currently babysitting, and I think
totally sister.
I know, but I think he's outside playing with a knife. I'm gonna be right back.
What?
to Denisha, take care of listeners. I'm not going to be responsible for this 9-year-old life. I'll be right back.
Oh my God. Well, that escalated quickly. That was interesting. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to keep talking about that for a second, but Laurie had to step away for a minute. If anyone has, you know, has lost anyone who listens to our podcast, who has lost anyone in this time, or, you know, has any thoughts about the shootings that have been going on, the mass shootings, please write us. We want to know how you feel and what you think about these things. For me, you know, I say, okay, we need gun control, but, you know, we can't really control who gets a gun or who doesn't get a gun. Then it makes you say, well, shoot, I need my CCW. Like, I need a gun. You know, I need to protect myself. You just never know when something's going to happen when you have to use it, protect you, your family, or your loved ones, or whatever. So, Gary, are you back?
I'm back. I just wanted to make sure, because he was he was just spinning in circles.
What?
It was this silver pointy thing in his hand. Like, yeah, is that a knife? It was plastic spoons. Oh, you know, God. Kids do weird things. I just wanted to make sure.
Wait, why aren't you watching him while he's outside?
He not outside. He inside of the house. He's just outside of the room.
Got it. I thought you said he was outside.
You know, we'll he just sits in the room and plays his video games.
I'll say, dang, you know, I'm never babysitting my children.
Do not leave your kids with me.
For real.
They are cute. And I will pinch their cheeks and I will give them right back.
Wow, that's so crappy. Well,
I know. Watching him has made me realize I have no motherly instincts at all. The child grows.
Yeah, you know? I think they come when you have your child. But did you want to, before we, you know what? Never mind.
That's all right, but I know we're talking about the mass shootings. I do want to get into
that. Well, yeah, but no, I think that motherly instincts, I think that they'll come like once you have your child, just like the whole breastfeeding thing, like your breast developed milk and all that when your baby's in your, you know,
develop some sense of urgency of watching kids.
Maybe that not that part.
I think that should already be there. There's something wrong with me that sells. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think some things happen. Like, I don't know, for some reason, like, I don't want to have kids right now, but, like, I've always watched, like, my brother and my sister and then my cousins when they were younger, and they've always been, like, drawn to me, and, like, I like kids, but, like, right now I don't have the urge to, like, oh, I just want to have kids right now. I mean, I do want children eventually, but, like, right now I cannot right now. So my motherly instincts, I don't think instincts right now, but they will develop.
Let me ask you this. When you watched your kids, when you watched the children, did you get up in the morning and make breakfast for them?
Well, I never had to watch them in the morning. Well, my brother and sister. Well, actually, not really. I'd be like, y'all can cook on y'all's own sometimes. Sometimes I would. Like, sometimes I would cook for them.
My thing is, if I'm eating, that's when you're going to eat.
But that's kind of messed up, though, for real. Because it's like, oh, I will be like, hey, are y'all hungry? And then... But sometimes, like, but the thing is, my brother and sister, like, they would cook themselves, too. So, like, they were kind of, like, dependent. But, like, my little cousins, when they were younger, I used to have to feed them, like, their bottles and things like that. And then, like, their oatmeal. So, that was different.
That's different. If I have a baby, obviously, there's, like, a feeding schedule. But once they turn, like, five.
Five?
Yeah. You know. They don't voice that they hungry. I'm not going to know.
Oh,
hence, they not gonna eat.
Wow, that's kind of messed up. I'm like, are you hungry? Because I'm like, shoot, I'm hungry. I'm sure they hungry.
Exactly. When I'm hungry, that's when I ask
you. Don't
them.
Be hungry. You eat like a 5-year-old, though. And you just, I feel like you eat when food is probably just in front of you.
Probably. That's crazy. But, yes, so tragic has happened within the past, not within the past 24 hours, but within 24 hours, two mass shootings. Insane. One at Walmart, one at the Oregon District, one at Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and one in Oregon District in Dayton, Ohio. I think it is tremendously sad. I can't even imagine what that's like. And when I was reading the different tweets of people from both sides, people from who were in the Walmart watching it happen and people who were at the scene in Oregon District watching it happen, you being in that experience just changes everything, you know, being in that moment and reading it online and being in that moment.
It's totally changes different.
Everything, and it puts so much in perspective. And I would hate for anyone to experience something so traumatic that can cause PTSD, that can cause so much after that, that can cause you to fear even going places. And the point of it is, it's not for you to fear going places. It's just because I don't, you know, when you look at these situations, you don't want people to be scared to go to certain stores. You don't want people to be scared to go to church. You don't want people to be scared to go to school. Like, you still want people to live their lives. But I think there's just something that has to be done about the gun control and looking at the white supremacy and facing the truth and the fact of the matter, you know?
Do you think that
the whole situation,
gun control is the only answer? Because I feel like there's no way that you can really completely take guns from anyone. There's no way to really control that. You know, you can try to control the drugs.
It's not about the guns. People are still going to get it. It's about the guns, when the guns go into the wrong hands.
Exactly, but I'm saying, like, you can buy guns illegally, so that's not going to change anything. No matter what they try to do to control it, there's still going to be a way that guns will get into the wrong hands of the wrong person, in the wrong hands of the wrong person.
That's true. Exactly.
I think that more people should have their CCW personally. Just because, like, you never know when you have to protect you or your family. Now, I will say that sometimes having a gun will create you feeling like you just want to. Some people feel like when they have a gun, they could just do it whenever they just want to, like, you know, pull it out whenever they just need. They just want to pull it out to threaten someone, which I don't think is right at all. But I do feel like, you know, as to a certain extent of protection, like, you do need it. Like, my great granny has one. She always telling me stories how she was shooting at some nigga and blah, 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 blah. Like, just because she can, she can sit it on her table right in front of me when we talk about it. So, like, I don't know. I think that to some extent, you do need one sort of protection. But then I think, like, okay, there does need to be some kind of a line drawn because not everyone is there mentally. But, like, I don't know why every time it comes to mass shooting, they want to pull mental health. That, too, is like, I mean, yeah, you're mentally not there, but, like, I think some of it has to do with, you know, I feel like they think that these video games is, like, real life. You know what I mean? Like, they...
I don't think it has anything to do with video games.
I'm saying they're treating these mass shooting, their treatment... I'm not saying... some of it is racial problems and just things like that, but, like, the people that were shot in the Oregon district were not just exclusively black and brown bodies. It was, you know, there were Caucasians, there were different people, but, you know what I mean? So I'm
let's face the facts that there were 9 people who were shot and killed at the Oregon district. One of them was his sister.
That's what I thought, because I was like, they had the last name.
Six of them were black. He shot 9 people. 6 were black. That's more than half. One of them was his sister. 2 of them, I'm assuming they might have been Caucasian.
Let me go back and make sure real quick.
But 6 people of the 9 were black.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it was, but what I'm saying is, I mean, because I don't even know who I was shot in El Paso, you know what I mean? But I don't. It's really a touchy subject because I don't even know where to start. I mean, I just feel like we, as a people in general, like, we need to have our own protection. And I'm not saying that it doesn't have anything to do with racial racially thoughts and ideas as well, because I feel like, yes, some of it does play a part in that. I mean, they don't really know his motives. I don't want to just jump to conclusions, but, and I'm not saying that, you know, this is different from another, but there are people who have gone, like the guy who went up into the...
Hey, Denisha, can you repeat that? You cut out.
Yeah. What part did I cut out at?
Just like the last 5-6 seconds.
I don't remember what I said 5 or 6 seconds ago. But what I'm saying is, I don't know, I just feel like we all need to have something for our protection. Not saying that it's not... racially motivated or not. I do believe that some of these things are, but I think that there does just need to be something done. And I don't even know what can be done because it's so deeply ingrained into the history and to the...
I think we can put a lot of things, we can implement a lot of things. Okay. Say for instance, I'm speaking hypothetically. This isn't something that I want. Hypothetically, everybody has a concealed weapon. We're all able to carry, now we have everyone ready and armed. I don't think the best idea. I don't think that everybody, why is this losing connection? That's weird. Isn't this like being on the phone? Anyways, I don't think everybody carrying a gun is the answer to the problem. And the real problem is white supremacy.
Yeah, but how can we fix that? Because that's never going
to
change.
We can't fix white supremacy. We have to fix the head of the whole entire thing. We have a president who was in the position who was pushing hatred.
Well, definitely we got to get rid of him. Definitely unwritten, but just because he's gone out of office doesn't mean that it's going to stop people from doing the mass shootings.
And my point is, he can prevent some of it. He has gotten into the office and has committed crimes, has pushed hatred, has decided to build a wall, has put kids in jeopardy, has said that Black people or people of color are rapists and are murderers. And you don't think that the people that this United States, in quotation, was made for, white people, aren't going to get riled up and feel some type of way and be like, take a stand and agree with Trump? I think that have someone who is against people of color, he wants to make America great again. He wants to make America white again. And you have people who don't think as far as they should. They think like, oh, like the president is implementing these things, I should carry out this plan, you know? And my conspiracy is the guy who committed the crime in El Paso. He was able to get away with it. He didn't get away with it, but he was able to commit this crime. You have the Dayton shooter who had already had a kill list back in college, which is one of the reasons why he got kicked out of school. He already had a list of people, the same shooting in El Paso. He wants to implement the same thing, his kill list, or he wants to implement, he wants to show that he can actually... Hey,
hopefully this time works correctly. But go ahead.
But my real point is, besides white supremacy, that's a huge problem that we're... not to defend the shooter, but I do think there is a real big problem with mental illness. Obviously, I think mental illness is one of the reasons it pushed him to go as far as he did. It does say that he suffered from PTSD and OCD, not PTSD, but he was bipolar, and he also suffers from OCD. I also think a race card was used. I think that this was a hate crime. I also think that he has mental illness, and I think that pushed him into committing this crime, this obviously has to be something because he killed his own sister. For you to have to let your brain control that much of you, for you to look at your own flesh and blood and just shoot her.
I wonder if he saw who he was shooting, if he was just aimlessly shooting at people.
No, he knew his sister was out, and he knew who he shot. I really do think that mental illness drove him into something like this. And I also, like, you know, thinking about it, like, as a parent, like, how would you even know how to, how would you even deal with that? You know, like, if this was my child and he shot and killed 9 people and he also killed my other child, like, that's insane. Like, how could you even, you're not, you know, and obviously you're a mom, so you still have this sympathy for your son. At the same time, you're grieving for your daughter.
We're both gone now. It's, so
it's just, you know, like, and then you have, you know, obviously this is your son. You've watched him grow up. You know all the good, and obviously you're gonna talk about how your son wasn't like this all the time. He's a sweet boy, and all this stuff. But now you have the world angry at your son, and how can you be angry to, like, obviously you can be angry, but can you really hate what you produced? Like, can you really hate your son? Like, can you be angry with the rest of the world? Because you're a mom, you're still gonna,
it makes you question it, well, there's nothing to protect now because they're both, the son is gone. So it would be interesting to hear a parent talk about these things, because you never ever hear a parent talk about them when they have had their child do something, a heinous crime like this, you know. But I feel like at some point it makes you question, like, well, were there actions from your son that you saw through him growing up that you never questioned, that you never sought to get help with? Like, what was it, that home dynamic, like, you know what I mean? Because y'all see, I'm sure, I don't mean to spin this, the move or the conversation. Oh, are we allowed to talk about Euphoria? Have you seen the show?
Yeah, I've seen the show.
Okay, are you all caught up?
I haven't seen the last 2 episodes.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to watch the last 2 episodes, but I'm not gonna talk about that right now. I'm just gonna talk about, like, the overarching, like, Nate. So if you have not seen Euphoria at all, this is about to be a spoiler alert. Just, like, we're just going to talk about characters. But, like, Nate, for example, he's a character who, he's a white guy, you know, a white guy. He plays football, blah, 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 blah. But he's crazy, batshit crazy. Like, if he doesn't get his way, he will literally go to the extent of, like, beating someone up and, like, hurting them in a way that, just to give them fear. But it makes you question, like, are these things, like, being hidden from the parents? Do they not see these things? Or, you know, is it more that he's done that they're just not aware of? Like, what is it? You know, did you really have no idea that your child had these irrational thoughts and actions? Like, I don't know. It just makes you question, because people have a good way of hiding parts of themselves that they don't want you to see. So, I don't know.
I don't think this boy was hiding anything. Honestly, I think this is who he was, and I think he needed something to light that fire, and something lit it, and he had a motive. Like I said, this boy already...
No one ever talked about it yet.
Well, like I'm saying, like, this boy already had a kill list, and he had a rape list of women he wanted to rape.
I guess I didn't
These really are something that already... He had already... And then when a student also said that this is not, basically it wasn't a surprise to the student because he already showed signs of it. So it kind of, I just, you know, going back to parenting, it goes back into the homes. Like, obviously it comes from how you're raised, paying attention to your child, looking at those red flags, doing something about the red flags. Having a nice support system.
And that's the problem right there. A lot of people don't spend time with their kids. Like, a lot of people are so caught up in work and other shit that's going on that they don't sit down to actually spend time. There's a difference between being present. Yeah, there's a difference between being there and actually spending time with your children, like quality time, like doing things, activities, spending family time together, you know, enjoying each other's actual
time. Seeing what they're interested in. Seeing what they're putting their interest in.
Yes, exactly. You know, like, what they're consuming their time with. Like, that's important.
And if, obviously, this is coming from a boy who has been ignored, has been talked about, has probably been bullied, and he probably never had an outlet. I'm not saying that I am sympathizing for him, but I am saying that parenting and having these open conversations with your kids so that they can have an outlet, so they can release all this built up energy inside of them, so they won't go out and commit something like suicide or homicide.
And then it also makes you question, well, you know, he might have had these hate toward other people like this. Is this something that's being taught in the family, in the household? Because a lot of times kids grow up like this and they've been taught these type of ideals, and they further carry them out. So, you know what I mean? So, because if a child is taught love, is taught to love people no matter what color they look like or whatever, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to grow up to be able to empathize and be able to look at the world in a different lens. But if they're being taught this hatred, and they're being taught these things, and they're going to grow up to look at the world in another different way as well. So, to be honest, the parents definitely probably played a role in the way he thinks and his thoughts. And I really kind of would like to know more about that, but
I don't want to put anything out there, but what I do think is that the sister was dating a black guy. I think the sister was dating a black guy, and I think that might have also played an effect in him. Like, whoa. I said, you have a president who, it's like, that's why I kind of think it was hate crime, and I also think it was mental illness. And when you are, if you are friends or even a part of someone who doesn't share the same mental view as you, I think that can also drive a wedge in between why he might have killed his sister. You know, if they're not sharing the same type of views and he's already mentally ill, he might not even recognize her as his sister anymore. He might just see her as another person, and that's in
the
his
thing
way.
That bothers, you know, me about just throwing the whole, I mean, I'm not saying that it is or isn't mental illness, but I really hate that every time that it involves, you know, a white person doing a crime like this, it's, they're always quick to throw the mental illness thing, and that fair shot is not given to someone of color. It's not given to someone who's Muslim or just whatever it is. It's not given to anyone else. But as soon as it has to do with someone white, it's mental illness. No, he's just freaking, I mean, yeah, it could have been that, but like, maybe he really just really wanted to do these things. Why can't it just be simply that? And I'm not saying that he's not quite mentally there, but maybe he really firmly believed that what he did was what he should have done. And
I agree. I think it also is a hate crime.
Yeah. And so I think it was a hate crime, and he just decided that he wanted to do these things. I'm not saying the mental or,
I think,
you know,
that when these things happen, and he obviously, I don't know whether I would have wanted to see him walk out of this situation and them be able to question him and like put him in jail and do time for all of
they
this.
They wouldn't have been able to. You know, he had to years, die but, in this situation, because if they hadn't shot him, he would have kept killing people.
That's true. But you also kind of, you always, for some reason, you always want to know what in the world were these people thinking? True. Like, how did you get here? But you also have crazy people if you watch like those TV shows where they talk about how they just want to kill people. There are murderers out there who just
simply
want to
murder
people.
Yeah.
And I honestly think people who do that, I honestly think that's a sign of mental illness. Like, people who just want to murder people.
No, yeah, I mean, definitely is wrong.
There's something wrong. Like, there's something not right.
No, definitely. I definitely
mentally in your head, there's a switch that's off, and there's something that's not wired correctly that's making you go out and just look at lives as they're meaningless. Mm-hmm. You know? But when Black people do it, obviously it's like we're, you know, monsters. When we're not even doing anything, we're monsters. There's no signs of mental illness, and
just a lot. It's a lot.
All in all, I do want to say this. I don't want to forget to say this. I think that if we as the American people, if we take every situation that happens in the United States and we put ourselves in these situations, that's the only way we can actually do something about it. Like, if we put ourselves in the situations of these shootings, if we put ourselves in the situations of these kids at the border without their parents, yes, without anything, when we put ourselves, you know, if we
having compassion.
I think there's a difference between empathizing and reading it. Like, I empathize when I read it, but me actually, me thinking that this is my child at the border, me thinking that this was my son getting shot, me thinking that this was my school getting shot, like, when I put myself there and then actually start to advocate for these people and do something for them, that's when we as a whole American feel the pain that everyone else is feeling. That's,
well,
when
that's what empathy is.
Strong and do something about
it. For another, you know what I mean? And
but I'm saying, like, I think there's a lot of people who's, yeah, that's true. There is a lot of people not empathizing, but we are empathizing and we're still not really giving notice to the situation or spreading something about the situation, doing something for the situation.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about when we first got onto the podcast. A lot of people are so consumed in their day-to-day lives that they don't even have time to worry about, because they're trying to survive. They're trying to survive. They're exactly. trying to make their, they're trying to put food on the table. They're trying to keep the roof over their head. So, you know, when you're trying to do that, you don't even have time to try to worry about someone else, because you can't even help yourself. You're trying to freaking figure that out. So that's the whole thing about, you know, trying to get to where you cannot feel trapped, because there are so many things in this world that are, that will leave you feeling helpless, because there's so much that you want to do. You know, there's so much in this world that is wrong and that needs to be done. And it's like, where do you start? And it's like, I don't even know. Like, and it makes you understand that when, you know, someone is an advocate, or, you know, someone is, you know, an activist, I meant, sorry, when they, you've seen a lot of activists take their own lives because, you know, they feel like they can't even do anything. It's so many problems in the world. And it's like, how do we really sit down and start somewhere? It's just, it's so much. It really is so much. And I don't even know where to begin. And I think that's why it is important to think about more than yourself, you know, that in this world, it's not just about you. It's about a greater good and a greater cause. And that should be your motivation to do the things that you do, because it's not just about you, you know, everything is bigger than you. And I feel like that alone can help you to move forward and to have faith and have strength to move forward, to know that you have a greater purpose that you're trying to accomplish. And so, you know, if you are pursuing your dreams, I'm tying back to the beginning, but if you are pursuing your dreams, you know, think about what your greater purpose and your greater good is, you know. And if you're listening to this podcast, I want you to email us that, you know, let us know what your greater purpose is and what you are doing this for, because that's important. Because there's so much in this world that needs to be done, and we all can play a part in it and in making the world a better place. So
yes, we want to shed light on. For sure. So is there anything positive you want to talk about? Let's see. Is there anything positive going on?
Oh, man. Let's dig a little deep. What is going on positively in the world? Anything?
You know, that's kind of sad.
That is actually very sad. Because I don't know. What, you know, what music are you listening to right now?
Light Skin Keisha just dropped an EP.
Okay.
And I don't know if you sound like you don't listen to Light Skin Keisha.
I tried her last album and wasn't feeling it.
So this album is definitely much better. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. It's really sassy. It's very, like, it's very fresh. She's definitely opening up more lyrically. Mm-hmm. And I like that. And the women right now are putting on for the rap community. I hope you guys are tuned for August 9th because Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj will be dropping a song together, Hot Girl Summer. Okay. And, you know, that's going to be so nice, you know, to see Nicki, one of my favorite rappers, and Megan, one of my other favorite female rappers, to make a song together. But yeah, Light Skin Keisha's album is real good. It's real ratchet. Real.
Okay. What do you like about it? Like,
I just told you, it's real ratchet.
When you say real, is she talking about some real shit, or is she just getting like, okay, I'm just about to go.
You know, it's still talking about, you know, the city girls of the world. It's funny because I don't think when I listen to music like this, I don't implement what they're rapping about. Mm-hmm. I don't even think the women rapping about these songs really implement it. I think it's all a facade. I think that if you are gullible enough to listen to this and then try to implement it, I think then that's where it comes in, mm-hmm. you know, and to play. But when I listen to City Girl music, not music strictly by the City Girls, but just City that Girl type, music.
That genre is a genre. Though.
Yeah, right. You know, it's a genre. It is. It's a whole genre. I don't actually go out and expect men to pay my utilities and do this, but I really do think that the music itself does put confidence in women that we can potentially run the show. Like, you want to fuck around and do all this other shit and then have other bitches and do all this, like, and then try to fuck me and get over on me, like, nah, nigga, recognize that I'm a queen, this is me, you gonna do what you need to do to make sure I'm still in, you know, in your, like, if you want me in your presence and I want you in mine, like, you know, it's kind of like women bossing up and being confident in themselves, being confident in who they are, and not letting any nigga feel like they can just walk all over mm-hmm. her and do her dirty, right. Like, no, we're in control now. We let y'all control and say when we in a relationship, when we not in a relationship. We cry all of y'all and all this stuff. But in the midst of me being single, in the midst of me doing what I gotta do, like, I'm gonna be singing these City Girl songs and feeling good about myself.
Like, do you feel like it really makes a difference to you?
Yeah, because if I put on, like, if I put on, Janae makes me feel empowered. She makes me feel powerful. She makes me feel,
But she not a, you think she's a city girl?
I don't think she's a city girl, but I think she has a type of music that will make you look at yourself like, I'm more than just this, or I'm more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have music from, like, her, you have music from SZA, you have, like, all these songs that make you feel good to be a woman, to be in your skin, to be who you are, to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And to really appreciate who you are, you know. The City Girl music just also gives you confidence. Like, I can go up to a nigga and say whatever the fuck I want, because you still going with this pussy at the end of the day. Wow. And niggas ain't going to turn down no pussy. Like, niggas don't turn down pussy. Like, you still going to... Pussy make the world go round.
Definitely,
like,
absolutely.
What's her name?
Pussy got power.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, she said, pussy just bought me a car and a crib. And it will. Like, niggas do anything for pussy. Like, there's men out here who will spend money for, who will trick on a girl. But you gotta find the right person to trick. Like, you know, it's hard to find the right tricker in the world. And plus, you gotta be like a bad tricking, bitch. Like, you gotta...
And he ain't tricking if he just buying your food. If he just... That's not right, tricking. You know, okay.
If you're going on a date. But... Oh no! Shoot. I like Keisha's album. You should listen to it.
Fuck my nail! Oh my gosh! I gotta take this thing off. It just bent and it just like hurt my finger. I'm so sorry.
How long you been having these?
Girl, let's take them off. Don't worry about it.
How long have they been off?
I've had my nails for a good maybe a month now. I had two sets.
Are they all on?
Actually, I just took one off earlier today. Okay. So I'm about to take all of them off, because once one comes off, they all gotta come off. I'm gonna take a break though. I really want my natural nails to get healthier, and I just actually want to not spend money on my nails right now, to be honest. So I'm just gonna kind of take a break. I'm gonna keep painting my toes and get my toes done, but like my nails, because I love my nails though, but I don't need my nails anyway. That doesn't matter. But this nail, I really hate... The one thing I do hate about nails is that, like, when you hit it, like, that nail pain, Bari, I know you never had, like, fake nails.
I've never had acrylics before,
because so her nails in real life are flourishing. Like, she has nice nail beds and all that shit. But, like, nail pain is, like, a pain like no other. When you hit that nail, oh my God. Like,
I understand. Like, if the nail on it, like, is the nail still on when you
hit
it?
Yes, it's still on it. It bends, and your finger.
So it's, like, pulling it out.
It hurts. I don't even know.
Is your nail lifting up off the skin or something?
For some people, it does. I don't really know what's happening. I just know that it's like the glue and everything is still attached to your nail, so it's pulling.
Yeah,
and it just hurts. I don't. There's no other word besides it hurts. It literally hurts. So, ouch, is my only word that I have for now. But
well, you could go to Walmart and buy those fake nails.
Oh, the press ones. I don't really like press ones for real. Like, I mean, some people can make them look nice, that, right? But
I see one girl do it. I was like,
first of all, I'm too rough on my hands. Like, I'm I just got too much going. I don't think that press ones would work for me.
You are pretty heavy handed. So.
Heavy handed. I just don't think that in my day to day, like, press ones would work for me. So,
okay.
Since we're talking about City Girls, this is not good news either, but, like, since it's today, you heard, like, Young Miami got shot at when she was leaving the studio.
Yeah, I wasn't going to think about it, but because that was more bad
news. I know, but, like, you just talked about the City Girls, so we can't just ignore that. Like, we got to at least say something about it.
Sure.
I don't know what to say about it, really, but, like, wow, like, somebody is really out here trying to get her. And if you are, like, stop with the gun violence. Like, why are you being crazy? Like, why are you just, what is going on? Why?
It's just so sad. Like, and then for them to say that once they got out, they realized that the car was shot at 14 times. Like, obviously someone was really trying to end,
but it makes you question, like what insane. Was going on. Like, was it an argument? Like, what was going on?
For you to shoot a woman,
you think it was a man or a woman who, like, who did it?
I don't know, but she's pregnant.
Literally
though.
Pregnant.
Like,
you know, be pregnant women that be, you know, they be trying to fight pregnant women and stuff, you know. And I don't care. And if you pregnant, like, somebody talking stuff to you, I'ma still talk my stuff to you too, because, like, you know, yeah, I'm pregnant, but that don't stop. That don't let you just say whatever you want to me. So it makes you question, like, were they in a heated argument? Did something happen? Like, was it somebody who just had malice against her? Like, what was it? I don't know.
Right. And then I don't be liking when people be like, well, she shouldn't have put herself in that position knowing that she was pregnant and blah 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 blah. Like, no, like, you still not gonna talk stuff about
14
me.
14 times though, shot you're at all.
Talk,
like,
shit about me and think I ain't gonna say shit.
But
back,
my thing,
like,
is, okay, so G Wagon's got that protection though. 14 times and they didn't get through the car at all. That's crazy.
I wonder if it was shot close to the window, because I mean, you could shoot at a car 14 times and just be trying to send a signal, or you could shoot at the car 14 times and really be trying to kill her.
Right, but she didn't
all
get
you
hit
see is a
not
couple
one
clear
time,
shots
though.
Inside of the window. Like, did the bullets even go through the car? Like, or they just hit the side
That's
of the
what
car?
I was wondering
or,
too,
you know,
actually,
you know, it could have been them trying to send a message, or it could have been them really trying to take her life.
14 like, times, I don't think that was a message. I think 14 times you really tried, you really just missed. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Is that G Wagon just got
right,
that strong
but how
armor,
you missed
that 14 metal?
Times?
14, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you gonna waste 14 of your bullets, you are trying to do something. So you gonna waste 14 of your bullets to not even hit her once?
It could be. That it sounds, could be sending a signal like, "Hey, look, I ain't scared. I'm gonna shoot you 14 times. Like, next time I ain't gonna miss." Type shit.
I would have rather them just
let's,
you know.
Let's not think about.
Yeah,
this.
That's kind of bad. But stop with the guns, man. Like, stop. Just stop. What else is going on right now? Let's see. So much bad is I really want to talk about something good for once. The weather here has been amazing.
I have a date this weekend.
Hey, okay. Where y'all going?
I don't know. I think he's going to surprise
Where'd
me.
Where'd you meet him? Would you like to
and
talk about
And I think
that?
I have to keep an open mind. You know I'm very forward, and you know I'm very blunt. So I'm going to try to not be as blunt as I am.
What do you mean by this? Because you've not always been like that. Let's not sit up here and just say all these things.
Okay, I just became very blunt in the last months.
She said months. I feel you.
Okay, look, because I went through a very traumatic, situationship, and it taught me a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it changed my whole perspective of dating. Mm-hmm. It changed me mentally, and this happened 8 months ago. So for the past 8 months, you know, all y'all used to talk about me saying I lived in this bubble and I'm real gullible and naive. I ain't that bitch no more.
Shit, this got real, period.
So when I go on this date with this guy, I don't want to have this look on my face like, where the fuck are we? Like, what the fuck is this? Now, if we have some sketchy shit, I am going to be like, what the fuck is this? But if this is something that he really enjoys doing, like, I can't think of like an off the wall
hiking.
Date that
I'm you like hiking like, because I've never.
Okay, I do actually, like hiking. I like I we can go hiking.
At first, I was like, yeah, we all like to cake.
Hiking. I like hiking.
Let's see. I got one. Paintball.
That sounds like it's gonna hurt.
But what if he likes to do it?
I mean, I am gonna be kind of skeptical because I'm gonna be like, this look like it's gonna hurt. You don't even know if I'm real athletic. Like, you didn't even ask me. How you know I'm not paralyzed from the waist down?
Oh my god! First of all, did y'all meet in person? Because then, that's the case, then he would know if you're paralyzed from the waist down. Because he's like, okay, you walked to me, I walked to you. I saw you standing up. You were in a wheelchair.
So, I will say that I met this guy on Tinder.
Okay.
Okay, so I met this guy on Tinder, and then I deactivated my Tinder.
Why did you say it like that? Like, you just...
Because I don't like Tinder, and Tinder is full of weirdos. Like, it's so weird, but I deactivated my Tinder.
Okay.
Because I joined this other dating app called Black, where you can meet a whole bunch of hot Black singles, but they not all hot. Some of them kind of ugly.
They not all hot, because some... It's like you got to be part of an elite dating app or something.
I know. But yeah, so I have a date.
You know, I don't think that it's bad to add a dating app, especially if, like, you want to just see more people in your area. I mean, personally, I don't like them. I would prefer to meet that energy in person for me. But, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just something that's with our times now that we kind of just have had to, like, roll along with. Just, like, even social media and Instagram and Twitter, just whatever. Like, you just tend to meet people, all these, like, love stories and shit on Twitter or whatever. And you're just like, dang, like, is this real?
I know.
But, right.
And it's, like, with the rate that I'm going at, where I work with a lot of families. So I never run into single men. Two, I rarely go out. So I rarely have a chance. And then I'm shy. Like, I'm not about to, like, make eye contact across the room and wink at a guy and see if he gonna come over to me if I am out.
Guys?
So half the time I go
like
out. I feel
like guys be, like, low-key punkish lately. Like, guys are kind of, like, not as forward as they were in the past. Used to be. Like...
Yo, ugly niggas is the most.
They are. They have the most confidence. You be like,
I know.
They probably like, I ain't got nothing.
Fine niggas just think
they
just so fine that I'm.
And that's the thing, fine niggas. I think it's because they feel like, man, like, don't nobody turn me down. So like, ooh, if I get rejected, it's gonna hurt my ego or some shit. Like, no. And then ugly dudes are like, hey, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm ugly, so you know she probably gonna say no. But shoot, I'm gonna just, you know, I'm gonna shoot my shot and I might get it. You know, whatever.
Exactly. But, like, niggas who are, like, fine or whatever, or who already got hella bitches, like, what they gotta go after a girl for? You know, they got hella bitches coming to them anyway. And it's so easy for, I feel like, every time I say this to a dude, they be like, no. But I really think it's easier for niggas to get bitches to get niggas.
Wait, say that again?
I think it's easier for niggas to get female, like, women, than it is for women to get, like, a potential nigga to talk to.
Okay. I think there's some truth to that and there's some non-truth to that. I think it's easier, like, if a woman wants to decide she wants to go out and fuck a guy, I think that she can easily do that. Just because, like you said earlier, guys more than likely would want to fuck, unless you just some, like, really dusty chick. But it is harder for a woman to, like, actually really date someone, because it's just a lot of guys nowadays, all they want to do is fuck, or they don't want to, or just, you know, be taken seriously, you know what I mean? But like for a man, I mean, if he really likes a woman and he goes after her and she likes him back, it's easier for him to, like, I don't know, I don't think that it's like easier for one or the other. I actually think that I used to think that it was easier for one or the other, but like I really think that for both of us out here, it's hard, unless you are really just not looking for anything, you don't care. Yes. Like you just really are just trying to like get your little nut and keep going. Like, but I think as far as like really dating, because like there's so many different layers to dating a person, you know what I mean? Like, you, okay, yeah, you find them attractive, but once you find them attractive and you get to know them, you don't like their personality, so now you got to go find someone else. And then
if you're looking to date if you're looking to date someone to actually be into a relationship, that's hard on both parties. I will agree.
It is.
But if y'all just trying to like have, if you want to have potential fuck, but that's easy. Well, it's easy. I feel like it's easier for men to get a woman to like have sex with them than it is for a woman to let.
I definitely think it's easier for a woman, for sure. For sure.
I feel like it's easy for, because like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Because I feel like girls, we'd be so, like, we'd be, like, some, I feel like a lot of girls be, you know, we don't want all that, you know, all that fucked up dick in our, you know, all up in our pussy. Like, we don't want that to fuck up our, you know, energy.
Exactly. And that's why it's so much easier for a woman to get sex if she wants to than a man. Because we run the court. We make the world go round. So we make the rules and stuff like that.
But if a nigga got a good dick and he's working with,
that's different. All he has to do is lure the woman in, and once he has her hooked, then he's like, all right, now I got the key, because you know she know what I'm working with. But that's after the initial shock. I feel like
oh no, I feel like niggas ain't even gotta do nothing. All he gotta do is be like, hey, I can get you in the club real quick, I can get you a section, all that type shit. And she like,
well, I think that just depends on the mental capacity of the woman.
That's, yeah, okay, that's true.
I mean, I don't know, but that's interesting though. So I mean, what else is going on right now? We're just kind of winging it today because it's just been so long,
and we missed you guys totally missed, and we wanted to get back out there,
and we hope that you all missed us too. We know you did.
What I want to do is put a link down when we post this. I'll put like a link down of different ways you can help support any of the different organizations that's going on, that's helping the families, or that's helping, and if you do want to send like any like support for the kids at the border, stuff like that, I'll try to find some different organizations that if any of our followers want to help donate anything or help to the causes, I would love to do that, because that'd be my way of trying to make this world a better place, is putting out more information.
And another thing is, you know, the election is going to be coming up next year. Do all that you can to get informed about the people who are going to be running for office, who are going to be the representatives and House of Representatives, Congress, all that. Get informed about who those people are now, so that once it's time to vote, you are well informed. Yes. You're not just voting just because of what the masses are deciding on, or what your parents are saying, or what your friends are saying. Like, have that for yourself, and try to get involved with the election. I know for me, I definitely would like to help to get people to want to get involved with voting, you know, and helping people know their rights about voting. So like, get involved in any way that you can, because this election is going to be probably the most monumental, most important election to date. You know, the last one was very important and it didn't get the turnout that I hoped for, but you know, I just hope that this next time around that it will be different. So do what you can to get informed, to get involved, to inform the people around you, to just be ready, because it's just a lot that's going to be happening, I feel like, over these next couple years, and we just have to be ready and prepared for it, because the world is getting crazier.
The life you want to live determines who you put in these positions. Look, if you believe in someone who has the vision that you are, like, I mean, you got to think about it. Like, this is
these are the people who are putting in place to make this world somewhat better for kids after us, or the kids or generations after us. Like right now what we're witnessing, we don't want to witness this again in another 10 to 20 years. So who we put in office is a representation of who we are as a people. And if we put the wrong person and that represented us wrong, then what do you think is going to happen? We put a president who, I mean, obviously whoever voted for Trump, they represent them, but
right, it does not represent everyone, because a lot of us, that's still not I've never used those two words, the word his name and the word president, in the same sentence, because that's not my president. Literally, it's not my president. So you know, I've detached myself from this country as of right now, but you know, and I'm really disappointed in the climate of America for sure, but I really feel like, you know, times can change and we just have to really put in that work to make a difference. And and you know, yes, and it really is disappointing, because you know, they did, it did come out that, you know, those votes were rigged, and we, I knew that, but like it actually came out proven that that happened, and that makes people who already, you know, just who said like, oh, my vote doesn't count, that gives them more ammo to believe that. And so I, you know, I feel like I'm hoping that that doesn't deter you from voting. Please get out and vote, get informed, do what you can to do your part and to help push others to do the same, because it's going to be more important than ever. When you see how this world is going, and we want it to go a different way. So like, let's do what we can for, I've been moving to Africa or something. Like I'm going to be moving somewhere because I can't, I literally cannot.
I think, you know, I'm thinking Canada, cause they got free healthcare.
Yeah, but Canada's still part of the U.S. Honestly, healthcare. I just want to just go to heaven. No, I'm just kidding. Let me just stop. Well, I actually do want to go to heaven, but like on the real, like I really be.
Did you just say you want to go to heaven?
Go to heaven.
I mean, yeah, we want to go to heaven, but we're talking about.
Oh yeah, no, right, that's now. Why I said let me stop right now, because I don't want y'all thinking like I'm just trying to like out myself, because that's not the case.
Right, girl. But you go to heaven. No,
but I'm saying I do want to go to heaven eventually. I do. But there's so much to be done on this planet right now to make a difference. But what I was saying is that I want to go to Africa, because like that's where our people are from, and well, the original people. And even though it's not completely safe in Africa either, there's problems in this world all over. But you know, okay, I don't have to get into that today. But anyway, do what you can to make a difference, people, because this world is just sad, totally sad. But I mean, I think that for today, like I think that we covered everything that we should talk about today. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, Mari?
No, I think that we will be oh, are we deciding if we're gonna do weekly or bi-weekly?
Well, I think that we should
We're gonna take this into consideration.
I mean, I'm down for the weekly.
I'm down too.
I guess like, we're gonna do weekly, and
we're gonna do weekly, and we'll see you guys. Well, I guess we'll talk next to you guys week. We'll next see you week.
All. And we love you. Thank you for tuning back into the Cake Podcast. Write us about guys. You know what you all want to talk about. Give us. We really want you to write our email. Forget what's our email. thecakepodcast@gmail.com now.
thecakepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you feel free to inbox us on IG or Twitter, Instagram. And the question that I will leave you with is, do strippers really want to be strippers? Yes or no? Because Denisha feels like yes.
I didn't say all of them do. I'm saying there are some that may decide that they want to be strippers. Nisha said
that every people who are strippers want to be strippers. I'm saying strippers don't want to be strippers. They do what they have to do. What do you think?
But you're making it seem like my whole idea is that all strippers want to be strippers. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, because you have to be you have to be on the opposing side.
Okay, fine. I'll take that.
You can't be halfway. Because, yes or no? You said yes. I said no.
That's not fair, because that's not my whole idea.
You can't have halfway questions. You can't go halfway. You can't have one foot. The
world is not just black or white, which I usually am a black or white thinker, but there's so many different layers to everything. And some strippers want to be strippers. Some strippers don't want to be strippers. Some strippers do what they have to do. So I cannot just take one side of it, because not all strippers do want to be strippers, but I'm sure there's some strippers that decide, hey, I do want to strip. So I will take the stance. That's what they do decide. I'll take the stance to say, I'll take the stance and I'm going to say that there are some strippers in this world who decide, yes, I would like to be a stripper. They like stripping. They genuinely like stripping. I will say that.
I don't. Okay. Fight me. All right. Well, I say no, they don't want to be strippers. They're just doing it to do what they have to do to do what they got to do to get where they need to be.
So what you, whatever you do, I want you to write us. Let you know what you think on Bari's question. Do strippers really want to be strippers, or do they just do what they have to do? Like she said, let's see what y'all have to say, because I'm curious. I mean, let's see what y'all think. But until next week, we'll see y'all next week, and thank you for tuning in. Bye. Bye. All right, let me just end it.
Oh, I got it.